This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Hello, this is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. Thank you for your time. We want you to know that we have been praying for you, and we're asking the Lord to be our guide. He is our guide into all truth, and it is through receiving His truth into the secret places, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me lead us in prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you for this study of the invisible war. We thank you for the study of your word that teaches us these eternal matters. We pray, Lord, that every hindrance would be removed, every cover, block, every thwart, every assignment that would come against us from receiving your truth that can set us free would be removed by the finger of God. May the heavens be open. May the atmosphere be clean. Lord, may our hearts be receptive for the work of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we pray this in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Get your Bibles ready. You may want to have a pad and a pen so you can take good notes. Let's get to the study. Where we left off last time in the Invisible War.
As we continue the study on demonization in the believer, the places of vulnerability in the life of the believer, it is clear that all of the warnings given in the New Testament concerning the dangers and potential destruction by the enemy are given to the church. As we've said many times already, the devil already owns the world. He is the god of this world. It is the church and only the church that can exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus, whom he hates with an undying hatred. He despises the Lord Jesus, for it is through Jesus he has been defeated. It is through Jesus that everything that he has stolen from God has now been redeemed and one day will be brought back to the one who rightfully deserves all the glory, the Lord Jesus. Now, man's areas of vulnerability and the attacks of the enemy and his victory in Christ in the invisible war. Man's environment, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Bible makes it very plain that the devil is the god of this world. The world systems that we live in. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This is not our home. There is one coming whose maker is God. And those of us who live by faith, Hebrews says, we long for that new place, that new city. But this world is firmly in the hands of the enemy. The flesh, Romans 7:18, and then the devil. He is the god of this world. Man's victory in Christ. Jesus has overcome the world. In John 16:33, we find these words, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." 2 Peter 3:13 talks about that new heaven and new earth where only righteousness will dwell. How we long for that day. Amen? How we long for the world where Jesus will rule and reign in only righteousness. All right? Man's victory in Christ. Jesus has overcome the flesh. John 17:2, even as thou gavest him authority over all flesh, that to all whom has given him, he may have eternal life. And there is the promise of the resurrection. This old flesh, though he is dead, those who believe in the Lord Jesus, we're going to get new bodies. Amen? Isn't that good? Some of you ought to be shouting about now. It's about time for a new body for some of you. But we have the promise of a new body, the resurrection. So Jesus, in Christ, he has overcome the world and he has overcome the flesh. Jesus has overcome the devil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His defeat, Colossians 2:13. By the way, you're going to be referring to this passage in spiritual warfare over and over and over again. This is one you need to mark. You will be reminding the devil, and this is a scripture you'll be reminding him with. All right? Colossians 2:13. And when you were dead in your transgression and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Satan was defeated at Calvary, and folks, he knows it. Every demon knows that they are defeated at Calvary. They're just checking to see if you believe it. They're checking to see where your faith is. Is your faith in Calvary? Is your faith in the shed blood of Calvary? They know that they are defeated at Calvary. There is no hope for restitution. There's no hope for repentance. Evidently, when God made angels, he gave them the choice, that one choice, and there's no more choices. That's it. You and I, God has been merciful to us to give us many choices. But in the angelic kingdom, they had one rebellion, and that's it. The good ones can't turn bad anymore, and the bad ones can't turn good anymore. It's a done deal. And we find that in the book of Jude, verse 6, that those angels who left their first estate have reserved for them chains and everlasting darkness. The judgment is settled, and they know it. That's why, folks, they are creatures of the darkness. They are doomed, they are damned, they are nasty, they are filthy, there is no recourse for them, it's over and they know it. But they are on assignment. I liken it to the mafia. When the hitman goes out under the authority of the mafia boss, they can't go back to the mafia boss and says, we didn't get the job done, or they're in big trouble. Demons are on assignment of Satan himself. And when they're sent out to your family, your children, your grandkids, your church leaders, when they come against you, they're on assignment to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And until, listen, they don't give up. I used to think, I honestly believed, that once you cast them out, it's over. Once you deal with it and you resist the devil and he flees, you don't have to deal with it anymore. Uh-uh. They'll just send a whole bunch more. Just to see if you really meant business. Because there is this assignment. And again, Satan is a legalist, and although he is defeated at Calvary, his destruction is not finished. The Bible tells us in Revelation 20, verse 10, his final destruction. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Jesus has overcome the devil. Now, let's look at man. I realize that there is always the problem of analyzing man, but we can do it biblically. Okay? Man is a very complex being. He's not just spirit, he's not just soul, and he's not just body. And I know there can be a paralysis in the analysis. I realize that, but stay with me. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also find in Hebrews 4:12 these words, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, the body, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So man is made up of three parts. He is spirit, he is body, and he is soul. Where do we get that? From the Bible. All right? Now, God's plan for man is to become like Christ. Jesus did not save you to get you to heaven. Jesus saved us to make us like Him. He didn't come to make us happy. He came to make us holy. Oh, church, will you hear this? Jesus did not come to make us happy. He came to make us holy. If we want to run somebody down, we call them holy rollers. If we want to demean somebody, we start talking about, oh, you're just too holy-minded. The truth of the matter is, that's exactly why Jesus saved us. He saved us out of the world. We are in the world, but we are no longer of the world. He saved us out of the world. We have a different nature now. And so, He saved us. His plan is to make us like Christ. What's the process? The 50-cent theological term is called sanctification. It is the process of being made like Christ. May I say to you that deliverance is a process of God's sanctification. I want to say that again. It is a process of getting cleaned up. It is a process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And that process is a lifelong process, but it will be finished when we see Him. The Bible says, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah. We're going to be like Him. But in the meantime, He saved us. Now, those of you that understand the Greek New Testament, every time you've heard a sermon on this, He did save us. But we not only have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. It is a continual process. And this salvation, please, can I use the word deliverance? Is that all right? Salvation is deliverance. That's what it is. It is synoptical words. He delivered us from the domain of darkness. What? He saved us from the domain of darkness. He delivered us from sin. He delivered us from the world. He delivers us from the devil. He saves us from sin. He saves us from the world. He saves us from the devil. They are synoptical terms. I don't know why we're so scared of the word delivered. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, what? Delivered. Shall be saved. So deliverance is simply the part of the process of being made like Jesus. What is sanctification? Colossians 1, once again. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. "And we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man," here's the word, "complete in Christ." The word here is teleos. It means to become mature, to finally become all that God intended for you to be. It is to be like Jesus. God's plan for man is to become like Christ. Now, let's go back and look at what man is. He is spirit, he is body, and he is soul. Three avenues of temptation. 1 John 2:15 through 17, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Every temptation of the enemy falls in one of these categories. Why? That's where we're vulnerable. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. You see it in the temptations of Jesus. The enemy said, "All this I'll give you." It was the lust of the eyes. All of this. "Look, I'll show you. See all this? I'll give it to you." Now, how could Satan have offered the kingdoms of this world to Jesus? Because He's the God of this world. So, could He have delivered? You bet. In fact, He would have delivered it to him because that would have kept Jesus from going to the cross where He was defeated. He would have gladly let Jesus rule, but it wasn't time. He had to go to the cross, or none of us, and this old world could have never been saved. It is through the blood of the Lord Jesus. So, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, turn the stone into bread. You're hungry. You fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the lust of the flesh. You're hungry. You have a craving. And the pride of life. This is where most of us fall. Most of us don't want to engage the enemy. Most of us really don't want cleansing because of the pride of life. We don't want to have to admit that we might have an assignment of a demon against our family. We don't want to deal with that. We don't want to deal with the fact that our church might have some real serious spiritual issues of an assignment of demonic assignments. We don't want to have to deal with that. It's ugly. It's nasty. We don't want to have to admit that it might be our family that needs deliverance, or our children, or our grandkids, or maybe you. And I remind you in James tells us in James chapter 4, and this is a pivotal passage of Scripture and deliverance, but God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I've never seen, listen to me, I never see God deliver anybody that is not broken before Him. Brokenness and humility is essential if you ever intend to go into the presence of the Lord. You cannot expect to receive anything from the Lord. I cannot expect to receive anything from Him if I come haughty, if I become demanding, if I come arrogant. Well, I don't need this, but my husband does. And the Lord told me when I began to weep for revival, He says, don't you ever ask me to do anything in the church that you're not willing to let me do in your life first. Folks, don't you ever ask the Lord to do a work in your spouse's life that you're not willing to allow Him to do in your life. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. God will not humble you. That's your choice. That's up to you. And quite frankly, this is our major stumbling block. Revelation 12, 13, we find these words. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And number three, this is where we get tripped up. And they love not their lives unto the death. They came to empty themselves. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever it takes, I want to be like Jesus. I don't want anything that is not of you in my life. I don't want anything that's not of you in my family. Show it to me. So, the avenues of temptation. Now, the spirit. Man is three parts. He's spirit. But when he is lost without Christ, man is spiritually dead. He is not alive spiritually. He is dead spiritually. That's why I believe that in heaven we will not even remember those who have died without Christ. Isaiah tells us the former things will not be remembered nor come to mind. Jesus said, if you want to see heaven, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again, born of the Spirit, all right? So when you are saved, your spirit is quickened from death to life. That is the new birth. The Bible calls it many different things, but we see it in John 3 as born of the Spirit. That is the place that when born again gives us the ability to commune with God Himself. A lost man, however, listen to me, a lost man, however genuine in his desire to commune with God, cannot do so until he's born again. Until the Spirit is reborn. Doesn't matter how genuine their desire is, no matter how intellectual, until they are saved, till they're born of the Spirit. And by the way, you don't birth yourself in the Spirit. That's a work of the Spirit of God. When you turn from sin, repent, and turn to Christ. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Man is also body. Galatians 6:18, the flesh. In and of the flesh, there is no good thing. Romans 7:18, Galatians 6:18, the flesh will reap corruption. And Galatians 5:19-21. We have the works of the flesh. Now, let me encourage you to mark that passage. Go ahead and look it up and mark it down. This is a very powerful passage, Galatians 5:19-21. The manifestations are the works of the flesh. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:1-2, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. All right? Why? Because it's necessary. It is absolutely necessary. 1 Corinthians 6:12, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Christ in your body. So man is spirit, man is flesh. In and of the flesh, there is no good thing. Stay with me. And he is soul. The soul is the personality. I realize traditionally the word soul and spirit have been used synoptically. They are not biblically. Okay? They may be traditionally, but they're not biblically. The soul is your personality. If mama makes soul food, she's put her love in it. Okay? She's put the best, because it's mama's stuff. We just sent some brownies, and it wasn't store-bought. It was mama's brownies. Nothing like mama's brownies, all right? So it's the personality. Now, what's the personality? The mind, the emotions, and the will. When someone has a mind, when somebody has emotions, when somebody has a will, we say that they are a person, all right? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The war for the control of your life is in your mind. If you can't believe the truth, you can't live the truth. 1 Corinthians 10:3-5 talks about the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not carnal, but spiritual, for the pulling down of strongholds. And then the last verse in that text, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. All right? If you can't believe the truth, you can't live the truth. I mentioned two wisdoms in James 3:13-15. We'll talk about that in another place as well. The emotions, Ephesians 4:26-27. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place. The word topos again, we get the word typography from it. It literally means the ground or the place the enemy has to work in our lives. All right. So the Christian, the believer, and by the way, this is written to the believers. It's not written to the world. The Christian is vulnerable in the area of his mind, of his emotions, and of his will. Turn with me to Philippians 2:13. I want you to see this. This is a marvelous passage. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Not only does God give you the desire to do his will, he gives you the power to do his will. It is God at work in you both to will and to work to do his good pleasure. But if the will is not submitted, not my will, but thine be done, the enemy has access.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org. And from there, you'll be able to find all the books on this topic, hear today's broadcast again, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there, you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We really appreciate you being here for this program and coming alongside us in the Invisible War. We know that you're in it and that you believe in this message. And if you do, help us stay on the air with this message. Dr. Rob Randall is one of those who is on the front lines. He needs your prayers and he needs your support. Support us financially, as our radio time is not free. Go to theinvisiblewar.org on the web. That's theinvisiblewar.org, or call us 877-808-8886. Toll free 1-877-808-8886. Your generous gift is most appreciated. Thank you for coming alongside us. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
This is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. I want you to know that it is for freedom Jesus came to set us free. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust you to do what we cannot do for ourselves. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And we ask you, Lord, that you would heal the brokenhearted today. that you would bring recovering of sight to the blind, to set them at liberty that are bruised. Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would be God in our lives today. We have no other. We seek no other. Lord, if you don't heal us, we can't be healed. If you don't save us, we can't be saved. And if you don't deliver us, we can't be delivered. So help us walk in the freedom that you bought for us at Calvary. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible Warrior.